Jake in Chattanooga. My name is Jamie, and this is Coming Home Alone. With me, as always, my dog, Pop.
Pop.
What's up? Always a good boy. Episode lucky number 7. Can you believe it? I can believe it, but I don't really believe in luck. I mean, I guess it depends on what you mean by luck. As far as, oh, this person's lucky, or, you know, you hold to carrying around a rabbit's foot or a piece of underwear. Yeah, I don't really believe in that. Now, do people get lucky as far as, oh, that could have been really messed up, but it wasn't? So, you know, we got lucky on that one. Yeah, I believe in that. But as far as, like, I'm not a very superstitious person at all, really. It's Mother's Day. So I hope everyone called their mom or went to see their mom or had lunch with their mom or did other mom things. And if you are a mom, well, good on you. I feel like I have to say that. But no, it's a very important job. I feel like I have to say that too. But no, it really is. Like, if you have a shitty dad, well, then you just had a shitty dad and you're out of luck and, you know, maybe you don't know how to, you know, change the oil in a car or something like that. But if you have a shitty mom, well, you know, I guess you just die, don't you? Oh, that's terrible. But you know what I mean. But I know they're out there and I know there are some good dads out there. So, you know, it's, I understand that I'm generalizing. But really, like, if your mom's terrible, then it's got to be harder. It's definitely got to be harder than just having a crappy dad. Even though, you know, daddy issues are rampant. Hell, I got them. I think even with, like, decent dads, I think that, you know, dad can never do anything right. Some just can't do anything right, though. But if you're a good mom and you love your kids and you make sure that they don't die, then good on you. Good on you, moms. Happy Mother's Day. Got a great show for you tonight from Centered Health and Wellness Center. Dr. Corey is going to be with us. I'm going to be sitting down with him and talking about your body. Oh, yeah. Talking about the body. But no, seriously, I've had some issues in the past, and I went and saw him. And, chiropractors get a bad rap. There's definitely a stigma stuck to it, and I got nothing but good things to say. I was so impressed with what this dude was able to do for me and kind of how it changed my life. But we'll get into that. I'll talk about all that later. And, of course, we have another tale of a scenic city loner coming up as well. So, you know, it's going to be a good show. It's going to be a lucky show. It's going to be a lucky show. I don't know what that means. So it just hit me that bikini season is right around the corner, like right around the corner. And I've known this for a while, but I just can't seem to get it together, man. Like, I'm not a fat dude by any means, but I've got a good, you know, 15 to 20 pounds of gut pudding, you know, walking around with me at any given time. And, you know, I've been working out, I've been doing some yoga, and I've even been doing a little cardio, but my diet has been absolute shit. I just don't like cooking, but what I hate more than cooking is eating my cooking. And it's times like these that I wish that I had a girlfriend to cook for me. And I'm not saying that that's a woman's place or women belong. I'm not any of that. I think that it's a good skill to have in general that I don't have. More so, I don't have the passion for it. I'm just saying it would be nice to meet a woman because I like women, and if I were to be in a relationship, that's who I would be in one with, that like to cook. So I could be eating more healthy than I am now. Nevertheless, I try not to have that mindset because, you know, I heard that Jerry Reed song and it didn't work out well for him. Oh, no one's going to get that reference. Maybe like 3 people are going to get that reference. I'm talking about the song "She Got the Gold Mine, I Got the Shaft." It's about a guy who hated to eat his own cooking, so he finds him a wife, and it didn't work out for whatever reason. And so now he's paying child support and alimony and working 3 shifts, eating bologna. That's literally a line in the song. It's a great song, though. And at the end of the day, he's just thinking, you know, why didn't I just learn how to cook? So I'll keep that in mind. I love Jerry Reed, man. He was a cool, cool cat. Super cool cat, man. Miss seeing that guy around. I think the last thing I saw him in was Waterboy with Adam Sandler. He played the rival coach, the old guy. But a cool guy from the 70s. He's hanging out with Burt Reynolds. Enough about Jerry Reed, though. Rest in peace. But yeah, I got to get in shape. And the thing is that it's not very hard for me to do that. Like, I pretty much kind of stay in shape all the time. I might get a little man boob action going on every once in a while. But luckily, like, if I just, you know, hit it in the gym, I can shed and bulk up pretty quick. So I'm lucky in that sense, but I just haven't been doing it. I've been eating Bojangles French fries way more than I care to admit. Man, I love those French fries from Bojangles. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to hit it. Really, I'm focused more on yoga right now, just some flexibility issues that I got going on. We'll see how that goes, too. I'm the most clumsiest dude. It's so, so pitiful. Which, I don't know why I'm so worried about it, because I literally never go swimming, ever. I never even wear shorts. So, like, I don't really walk around without my shirt on, and I don't ever wear shorts either. So, like, beside my head and my arms, I'm pretty much translucent. Because most of my body isn't ever exposed to sunlight, which, is a good thing. But it's not when you're naked. I freaking broke my phone case. The phone's fine, but the case is destroyed. I ordered a new one off Amazon. That should be here in a couple of days. But until then, I'm kind of sans phone protection. Which sans, I think, is a French word, meaning without. And I don't know. I like that term. I use it anytime I can. My favorite use of that word would probably be Wayne's World 2. Where Garth is in the laundromat talking to Kim Basinger, and he's like bragging about how he just moved out of his folks' place, and he's just like, I am sans parents. Said it really smooth, and he's bragging that he could go to a movie on a school night like that. God, that's a good movie. I mean, it's better than it ever should be, Wayne's World 2. Wayne's World 1 is great, but Wayne's World 2 is equally enjoyable. Well, not equally, but you know, on par for sure. But have you ever tried to carry around a phone without a case? I have a Samsung Galaxy phone, and I don't know what this phone is made out of. Bar soap, perhaps? In fact, I would even think that bar soap has more traction than this thing. Like, if you were in prison, instead of showering with bar soap, everyone just showered with Samsung Galaxies, there would not be a single person in prison not being sodomized. Not one. Because they would just be slipping out of here. Seriously, like, why make it so slippery? Is it just to sell you a case? Is that what it is? That's got to be what it is, because it's definitely not ergonomical in the slightest. I mean, I think they want you to break this shit. That's probably what it is that they want you to break the phone so that you can either pay to get it repaired or pay for the insurance or pay to get a new one. Yeah, that has to be it. Golly. Vultures is what they are. But the new case should be in a couple of days. Fingers crossed that nothing happens before then. Hopefully luck will be on my side. You get it? I referenced the throwback to what I was saying, you know, before and at the start of the show. But anyway, enough about that. I've rambled on way too much. So let's get right into this week's edition of Tales of a Scenic City Loner. Took a weird turn, but I like it. And if you weren't aware, every week I go to a new place in town. The stipulations would be, I go by myself, I don't tell anyone where I'm going, I bring no money, and I bring no cell phone. And if there's a cover, I'll pay the cover, but that's all. So this week, I made my way over to North Shore to the Big Chill Grill. I want to say bar and grill, it's not, it's the Big Chill Grill. The Big Chill. Light on my side, thinking about 311 for a second, and I don't think anyone's done that in a really long time. So I walk in, the security person checks my ID, and I go to the bathroom real quick to use the bathroom, because you got to do that sometimes. And then I'll go to the bar to get some water, as of course I typically do. And honestly, this is another one of those streamlined episodes, the where I'm not bouncing around from person to person, or things aren't. I get there. I get my water. I go out to the back. They got a tiny, small back patio, if you didn't know. Patio, if you didn't know. And then I see two lovely ladies just sitting by themselves talking. So I asked if I could join them because there was a free seat. And I sat down. And they were a little taken aback. But it turned out to be a mother and her daughter. And they were just out having drinky drinks for Mother's Day. Celebrating that. And I was frozen, which... Let me back up, because if you've never been to Big Chill, like, the second you walk in, like, the whole back wall of the bar looks like a damn convenience store, you know, icy section. They're adult ice beverages. So instead of, like, your wild cherry or your Coca-Cola flavor, you got... It probably has a Coca-Cola flavor in there somewhere. You got all the booze colors of the rainbow to choose from. And that's really kind of cool. Obviously, that's not my thing personally. I think we kind of got into that when I went to Allen Gold's. And, well, we've discussed that enough. That night haunts me, but it was a lot of fun. Anyway, it was very obvious to me that these women liked each other. Like, you hear that, you know, oh, my mom's my best friend. Well, I really believe that. My mom's my best friend. Totally. They didn't sound like that, but you hear that a lot. But I really believed it for them. Because they really did seem, tight. They weren't, like, putting on airs or anything like that, which is nice. I'd like to think that if I ever had a kid, that that's the way we would be. But, I mean, there's no telling. I mean, who knows, right? But in this case, they were just so lucky. They were like, I know how many sexual partners she's had. She knows how many sexual partners I've had. And all the drugs and partying I've done. And, I mean, all these things. And I'm like, well, that's cool. That's definitely cool. Really down-to-earth, level-headed girls these ladies were. And we just talked forever, man. I mean, they were a little, you know, standoffish at first because they didn't really know what was going on. Some random dude coming up to talk to him, but that's what I do. That's the whole point. Anyway, you could really tell that these two ladies really cared about each other, as I've said. And that family was important to them. That, you know, they probably talked to each other every day. Whereas in my family, I love my family. But we don't necessarily have to talk every day. We don't even have to talk every week, necessarily. So, once a month, probably. But it's not like it's good just to catch up. I mean, honestly, I don't know what changes from a day to another day. Usually the same old stuff. Sometimes it does, and sometimes, like, the mundane stuff you get into. But, let me give you a few days, and then just hit me with the bullet points. Just hit me with the high points. And I don't need to know what you watch for TV or, honestly, like, I just don't, especially my mom, I just don't want to get bogged down into, like, her work-lady drama where so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. Like, I'm sure it's really frustrating and important at the time, but give it a couple of days, it's really not that big of a deal. That's what I want. I want to give it a couple of days, and if you're still upset about it, come to me. Talk to me. But to hear that every single day, I just can't do that. Maybe women can. I can't. Good on you, women. Good on you. But the daughter, she was currently going through a divorce. She's in the military. Her husband, ex-husband, in the military. They have a baby. Cute little baby. Looks like this lesbian girl I know. She's cute. Super cute. Which people seem to think that Big Chill is a lesbian bar. It's not that it would matter, but it's not. I think it is owned by a lesbian couple, but that doesn't make it a lesbian bar, right? If you get your hair cut by a gay hairdresser, that doesn't make it a salon that only gay people go to, right? That wasn't very well thought out, but you get what I'm saying. Like, we're almost there with that analogy. But no, it's not a gay bar or a lesbian bar. It's just a regular bar that... You know, people of all walks of life go to. But I've heard that before. And I think at one point I even thought that. But I haven't thought that in a long time. But there are still people who think that. But honestly, like, if you're not going to go to a place because you think it's, like, a lesbian bar or a gay bar or something like that, I don't know. I mean, if it's that big of a deal, you're probably not the kind of person that they want there anyway. I'm not saying that. And I get why you would be hesitant, because if you're, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I'd have to think about it more. So we'll come back to that. But back to what I was talking about. Like, I don't know if it's, I don't know what kind of tax incentives or bonuses you get for being in the military and being married. But it seems like as soon as someone enlists in the military, the next second they're married and then off the war somewhere. So I don't know what that's about, but I see a pattern. Now granted, I have two brothers that were in the military and they didn't do that. But pretty much every other serviceman and woman that I've ever seen or ever known has gotten shacked up sometime in their military career. Don't know why that is. I'm sure someone could tell me why that is, but just something that I've noticed. Anyway, so the daughter was going through some stuff currently. And this is a conversation that comes up a lot with me. It's bound to come up just based on my past, because I was kind of a late bloomer with things, as I've discussed on the show before. You know, I was kind of late to getting to sex or late to getting to drinking, or the drug thing just missed me completely. And that's due to my religious background. So when talking about such things, that religious part of my life always comes up, it seems to, from time to time. And typically, if I'm talking to somebody who's, you know, on the scale of religiousness, they always feel like they need to justify them having fun. Like, I'm out at the bar with my daughter having a couple of drinks and talking and having fun, and I felt like I need to justify this in some way. But not so much to Jesus, but I guess to me. Like, they're justifying their behavior to me. Like, I give a shit. But then, like, when they find out that I'm no longer religious, then they kind of feel like they need to proselytize to me. So it goes from, like, don't judge me, to judge me, to, you know, you really should get right with Jesus. I don't know, I think it's funny. And these ladies weren't really doing that, but it is something that definitely happens to me on a regular basis. So if I was more angry and cynical, I could look at it as, okay, I wouldn't want people from my church judging me based on this behavior, but you need to get right with the Lord. But I don't look at it that way. To me, this is just further confirmation of what I've been saying all along, which is, despite our political opinions and our religious beliefs or whatever, we're all basically the same. And we all enjoy the same things. We all like to let our hair down a little bit every once in a while. And you shouldn't feel ashamed for that. I mean, that's the only difference, is that when you do it, you're going to feel bad about it and feel ashamed and guilty. And when I do it, I'm probably going to cherish those memories and those conversations and that time more than you would. Because what your religion is telling you to do is wrong or whatever. I don't know. I don't pretend to know people's, the level of people's belief. It's not important to me. I'm just happy to know you. But these ladies weren't doing that. Let me stress that, is that they were so cool. So cool. We had such a good time. I mean, pretty much I spent the whole night just talking to these girls. And it was just so much fun. And they were like, you know, you're actually a pretty cool dude, Jamie. And that meant a lot to me, because the feeling was mutual. But after a while, they had to go. The daughter had to get some cigarettes at the CVS right around the corner. And so I said goodnight to them, and it was really nice to meet them. And that was the end of the conversation, and almost the end of the night. Pretty much the end of the night. But before I left, I ran into one of my homegirls from my Southside social days. And she was working there. I didn't know that. We just talked for a long time. It was good to catch up a little bit, see what she was doing, let her know what I was doing, hitting on some of the hot Southside social goss. I don't know how hot it is, but you know, this person's there, this person left, this person is no longer there, this person got, you know, that kind of stuff. Just to kind of keep tabs on everybody. Which honestly, it's really hard not to get sucked up into the gossip, not to chew on the hot goss when it is presented to you. Where in my head, I'm like, oh, this really isn't none of my business, but yeah, do tell. But I guess it's just my thirst for knowledge. I like to know as much stuff as I can fit into my head. At least that's what I tell myself. And so I was probably out of there a little after 2. And as far as you know, that was the end of my night, so let's break it down! And I say that, but really there's not a whole lot to break down, because I walked in, I got me some water, I almost immediately sat down with mother and daughter family affair situation. Talked for the whole night. Got to know them really good. They got to know me. And it was a super fun time that I was glad that they let me be a part of. Not only that, I got to see one of my old friends from Southside Social, talk to her for a little bit, and because I drank water all night, I felt pretty good the next morning. So all in all, I'm going to give this night at the Big Chill Grill on Cherokee Avenue, North Shore, 3 booze slushies out of 5. So join me next week for another edition of Tales of a Scenic City, London.
Yeah, I don't know how I felt about that one, to be honest.
Hey, bud.
Hey, oh, you're being good today, huh?
Awesome. So let's get into this week's interview, which, as I've mentioned, is a local chiropractor, Dr. Corey, from Centered Health and Wellness Center, I guess. Centered Health and Wellness Center. And I should know that, but I never really looked at the sign too much, to be honest. But it's Centered Health and Wellness in Red Bank. And honestly, it's really important for me to have Dr. Corey on the show. For me personally, just because I deal on a daily basis with pain and stiffness and tightness and all that stuff that just sucks years off your life. And despite how skeptical I was initially, to see what they've actually done to improve the quality of my overall life has just been, you can't put words or, I mean, it's priceless. So if you're like me and deal with these joint pain and postural issues and all these things, then, you know, it's worth looking into. You don't have to feel so crappy all the time. Just go see Dr. Corey and, dude, he's going to hook you up. And this is, he's not paying me to say this. This was my idea because I was just so shocked, really, because I was just kind of sifting through all my preconceived notions of the chiropractic industry. And anyway, we get into all that. So let's do it. Let's talk to Dr. Corey from Centered Health and Wellness Center. Yeah, indeed. It's ridiculous for sure. But you're from Ohio?
Pennsylvania. Okay. Southwest Ohio. Okay. So, or Southwest Pennsylvania. So that tri-state area. Yeah. Like my wife's from West Virginia, and that little slip of West Virginia. I'll demonstrate real quick. I'm not flicking you off, but that's how we make the state of West Virginia, right? My wife's from right there, and Pittsburgh's here.
Okay.
So the tri-state area of Ohio, West Virginia, and
I didn't know that's how you, like, I know the Michigan thing, yeah. But I didn't know.
Yeah, not too many people want to say that about West Virginia, but it's an easy way of mission of this is where my wife's from. So it's only like two mile strip of land. And then,
yeah, I had another guest who was from Pittsburgh. I don't know anything about it, but, like, I just have no desire to go, personally.
Oh, man, you've never lived. You have never lived until you go back to the homeland. Like, it's a great place. If you ever go to Pittsburgh, it's starting to turn into, they call it, like, the Portland of the East Coast, they said.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's getting very kind of yuppie-like, but it's super cool. Like, it used to be such an industrial town in the 70s, and the city almost closed down. They kind of lost their model or whatever it is, and they went to a very green city and a very health-based city.
Oh, well, I mean, that's always good, you know, so.
Yeah.
But how do you like living in Chattanooga, though?
Oh, I love it, man. It's been great. I mean, we moved down here by way of Chicago. We were in Chicago where I worked as a clinical director of an office up in Chicago, chiropractic, mm-hmm. Well, a multidisciplinary practice. So it was myself and a medical doctor working together. And
Pup's excited.
Yeah. And we just got tired of the cold weather. You know, we like it, but, you know, when we're home, we don't really want to start something different. And then we looked down here in Chattanooga because my mom had moved down here about 10 years ago. So I'd come down on vacation and we're like, this is it. Let's go down there and take the leap and do it. So,
nice. But you were in the military, right?
Yeah. So I was in the Army and then I did the National Guard when I went to school and all that kind of stuff.
So did you do that right out of high school?
I did a year of college. I wrestled in college for a year. And, you know, I had some injuries, had a lot of injuries was catching up to me. And I just got kind of worn out, you know, just kind of something was getting to me. I was like, do I really want to do this for another 4 years on top of school? And didn't know anything about the military. So the guy, the recruiter's like, hey, you should join this thing called the infantry. I'm like, that sounds great. Let's do this. Like, little I know, it's like, I didn't know infantry meant front lines. I had no idea what the military was. I just did it because I saw a signing bonus and they would pay for school. And so I was done.
That's exactly my brother.
Yeah.
The same thing. He's like, well, I don't got anything else going on. Yeah. So.
Yeah,
so. It's either this or hang out with mom, you know? Well, that's cool. So, with the injuries that you got from wrestling and stuff, like, I wrestled in middle school for, like, a year. I was terrible. Mm-hmm. To even call me a part of the team would be a disgrace to the team, really. But was that what kind of got you thinking, like, what got you thinking about chiropractic?
Yeah, I mean, my story really is a product of, you know, injury in the military. I was deployed overseas, and I dismounted, and I felt a pop in my back, and I actually found out I had actually fractured a portion of my spine. It's a thing called a spondylolisthesis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it hurt, but I still continued the whole mission. Next day, I felt like I couldn't stand up. It was just killing my back. 19 years old, going on 20. I got better. Then I got out of the military and started going back to school and the National Guard stuff, and it flared back up. I was having sciatica really bad. It was just, I broke the other side because there's two parts to the spine, the pars and articularis. And I had broken one side, I guess, in the military. And the second time, I broke it again. And, you know, I reached out to my buddy who was a chiropractor just because we were friends. And he's like, you go see my brother, because his brother's a chiropractor in Pittsburgh. You know, I went to him, about 2 weeks of care, felt amazing. And then I just kept going to him for this whole care plan, got better. Sciatica went away, a little back pain went away, I was able to work out and stuff, because their surgeons were telling me they would fuse it, and you'd probably not be able to lift weights like you do, and be as active as you are. So the chiropractic was just amazing, because no one had talked about it, no one talked about it as an option, and I just kind of blindly discovered it through just talking with a friend of mine. You know, it was through that, too, and then, you know, while I was in the military, too, I was drinking and just eating a lot of bad foods, but I started having digestive issues, like constipation, diarrhea,
mm-hmm.
And when I started seeing him, I didn't really even tell him about this, but it started clearing up. And, you know, I just blindly said it in the conversation. He's like, yeah, you know, most people come into a chiropractor because of, you know, low back pain, neck pain, those kind of things. But they don't understand the other benefits of your body self-regulating. And those same nerves that go down your leg that cause sciatica also go towards your digestive organs, towards your sexual function organs, your bladder, those kind of things. So all of that cleared up. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. So it was through talking with him and everything that I kind of got hooked and changed what I was going to do in school and then to go into chiropractic school. And I got deployed again with the National Guard. And then after that deployment, I just packed up all my stuff and moved to Davenport, Iowa, where I went to school. So, yeah, I'm just a product of, you know, figuring out myself just by accident.
Yeah, you sound like you didn't really know too much about it going into it. Because me, like, some motorcycle injuries, some car injuries. I mean, you know this.
Yeah.
And so I've always had some pain and some discomfort. I thought that, you know, the chiropractor was just like, you know, a quack, you know, just throwing that.
Yeah, no, yeah. But,
like, did you know about that stigma?
I think, no, not really, because I really wouldn't talk to people much about it. I told, like, my wife and I told, like, my family, and they thought it was a great idea. And I was like, I really didn't even say in the whole picture. I was looking at more from a back pain perspective. And I guess it's really cool. I can become a doctor. And like, I was really trying to go for physical therapy. And my friend was like, you can do both. You can be a chiropractor and do physical therapy. I'm like, oh, I'm in. This is awesome. This is what I want to do. You know, but yeah, once I signed up for it, I started finding out, oh man, people don't have this good of a perspective, you know, a perspective of what chiropractic care is. So, you know, that's something I'm really trying to do is change that perception. Most of it's based on conjecture. And a lot of people just hearsay. That chiropractors are quacks and they're going to hurt people. But, you know, we look at the research now, and even medical doctors are saying themselves. Yeah, the American College of Physicians has now changed their recommendations for back pain. They are trying to stay away from opioids, from, you know, Oxycontin mm-hmm. and all these different drugs, and even NSAIDs, because they know that it just makes the problem prolonged. And they see that massage and chiropractic adjustments and doing therapy will be more effective in the long term and in the short term as far as effectiveness for helping with back pain. So my ultimate goal really is to continue to change that perception before I leave this earth. You know, maybe make a different perception on people, you know, yourself.
Yeah.
See chiropractic.
Yeah. So. And I can say to the listeners that, you know, I went because I felt like I didn't have any options. I was ready to try anything.
Yeah.
And you knew how skeptical I was. That's and I probably fought you most of the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it really, like, I hate to, like, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but it did kind of change my life though, because yeah. My posture got better. My movement got better.
Uh-huh.
All these things. I mean, like you were saying, like there's so many benefits to it.
Yeah.
That it was really kind of amazing, and it sucks that they do have that stigma, and I'm sure there are some less than reputable.
The craziest ones sometimes speak the loudest in that profession. that's the bad part, is that, you know, you have to kind of sift through some of the people that aren't, you know, every profession has bad like, people in their profession, but chiropractic does have a lot that people think they're a lot worse, you know. That's mm-hmm. really to change that perception.
Yeah, it's probably just the noises too, you know. Yeah. Like the cracking and yeah. stuff, it is off-putting for sure.
Sure,
I mean,
totally.
You're you're probably used to it, but yeah. Like...
I call it, it's called the nocebo effect, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear that noise and you feel like it's something really bad. So that's why I really try to educate people on what's really happening. Mm-hmm. Because just like watching a video on YouTube, you see someone break their leg, you're going to cringe, right? You feel mm-hmm. that pain for that person. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing bad with an adjustment. Really, adjustments are relieving pressure on that joint to make that whole spine work again how it should. And it's really good for you. I mean, you know, same with cracking your knuckles. There's a guy that won I think it's a Nobel Peace Prize for... He just spent like 10 years like that adjusting one hand, and he just popped his knuckles on one hand for like 10 years. And then they did like x-rays and studies on it later on. And the hand that he adjusted, first the hand he didn't, actually had less arthritis, you know, less problems with, a better range of motion than the hand he didn't do anything with. The idea of popping your knuckles isn't that bad for you. It's actually better for your joints.
Yeah, you always heard that. I mean, it's like... Is milk good for you or not, you know?
Yeah.
I still don't know. Yeah. I'm so off the wall.
Yeah.
So the perception is not good, at least where I come from. So did you know what you were really getting into? I mean, you obviously went to one. Like, if I were to be a chiropractor tomorrow or go to school for it, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to be hugging on people all the time.
I really didn't. I really didn't at all. You know, it's really... It didn't prepare you at all. For school prepared you to how to learn how to adjust. It didn't prepare you at all to be a doctor and how to talk to people and make people explain chiropractic. It taught mm-hmm. you the basics of how to do a physical exam on somebody and all these things. But, you know, and I didn't have the bad perception of chiropractic. I had a good experience with it. So, you know, it's hard. You know, it is definitely challenging to change people's perceptions on chiropractic. And, you know, I hear it every day. People say, yeah, you know, you guys are quacks. I'm like, yeah, I hear it, but. I get people better. It's working, you know? What I'm doing is working.
But I have heard some people who like it, don't like it, and you're the only reference I have to it, mm-hmm. and it was just such an amazing experience for me. Like, yeah. It wasn't anything like I thought, and you actually cared, not only that, but, like, I mean, I was getting, like, free personal training out of it, too, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Which is even better for, you know, those who like to work out and all that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, my office really isn't the norm of most chiropractic yeah. offices. Like, most chiropractic offices you may go to from time to time are really just... And the perception here is someone goes in, you lay down on a table, they pop your back, and then you're out the door, right? And that's great for helping with pain relief, but I try to fix the underlying problem. And I spent a lot of time, well, when I got out of school, really trying to research, well, yeah, chiropractic is great, but what else could I do in conjunction with this to make it better? Like, what else could we add to this to make it so a person has a better long-term projection? So I started looking a lot into physical therapy, and I did a lot in school. I worked in the PT rehab area at school. And, you know, when I got to my new job, it was really eye-opening because I had some good doctors to work with, and the physiatrist who was on the medical side could tell me a lot of just good influence. So I spent a lot of my time just researching what can I do more to make my office better. So I add physical therapy in. I have Michelle, who's a massage therapist, who mm-hmm. is always trying the same way to always educate herself to become better. Evan, same thing. Evan is a movement specialist. So we both look at how people move and do they move in a correct pattern, which we know that most normal people do, and people that don't more leads to dysfunction and pain. So we add a lot of different aspects to our office rather than just coming in, giving you a pop in the back and then a high five out the door, right?
Yeah, which ironically, the popping and the cracking is the most pleasurable part of the experience.
Yeah, I'm gonna make you work in my office. Yeah,
because you know you had me on like going three times a week, uh-huh. and that's hard to do anyway.
Yeah.
But it's even harder to be like, okay, well he's gonna get me in this contraption for like half an hour, and I'm gonna be rolling on the most sensitive parts of my body for another 15 minutes. Yeah. I mean, it's. But at the end of the day, I think that is worth it. I think you said to me one time, it's kind of like having braces. Which yeah. I had braces for a really long time, yeah. that, you know, it doesn't correct the problem overnight. You just right. slowly but surely adjust it to where slowly but surely it gets to where it needs to be. Totally. And so all of that, you know, head and the traction or whatever
mm-hmm.
and,
yeah.
and me throwing my, I don't know, all the things you had me doing.
The on wobble the, bar and all yeah, stuff, your shoulders yeah. and strengthening, yeah.
Like, it really, you didn't really see it at the time. You were just like, you're just like, oh, you mother, you know, that's...
trust the system, Albert, trust the system, you'll get better, I swear. Once you're done, you're going to feel amazing. You're right, yeah, adjustments are one of the most pleasurable portions of it, because you feel so much better, and you just feel like a heightened sense of just greatness after. You feel just great after adjustment. They call it, like, people call it turning the power on, you know? Because your body is self-regulating, so it's taking interference off the nervous system, which causes the pain and the feelings of just feeling down and just cruddy. But I, like you're saying, traction is what I do in my office. I do work on posture, because if you sit around with your head hunched forward for a long period of time, I can adjust you, but if you go right back to doing what you're doing, it's going to go back to where it was. I'm trying to figure out how I can make you hold your adjustments longer get the benefit of the adjustment. And traction that I do at my office, it's called chiropractic biophysics, which is really looking at your x-rays underneath the skin, your whole position of your spine looks like. And if we have deviations from what's considered normal, then you're more likely to have more problems losing your adjustments and more problems with later on the road, more arthritis, more dysfunction of your spinal cord. It's been proven through multiple pieces of research. And I just constantly push that research out to doctors. But to you guys, it's really the basic education of improve our posture in our car, improve our posture when we sleep, and do this little device I gave you, this little block. I know it stinks, but if you do, it's going to help counteract all that bad sitting at desk posture for 10 hours a day.
Which I have to ask you a question since you're here. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, I know.
So it's good to see
you. You need to come in.
Yeah.
You need to get back in and just get checked up for a little while.
Yeah, I totally do. But you gave me that, I guess it's called a dinner roll.
Yes, a dinner roll.
And so I had it, and so I used it like once and didn't use it again. But I'm always like, oh, I need to use it. And so I took it out and I like set it down. And then I went and did something else. Uh-huh. And then I came back and it looks like a sponge now. Because Pup got a hold of it.
Yeah.
I guess hopefully it still works.
Yeah.
I mean, it still kind of has its shape to it, but.
Yeah. You know, it's a common thing. I call it the retainer after braces, yeah. Like we talked about. Mm-hmm. We did all that traction. My office was big, weird-looking, archaic devices. You know, my retainer when I had braces, too, got eaten by my dog. And, you know, foam, those dentals seem to be a big thing that dogs like. You're not the first person, you'll be the last that had it's been chewed up by a dog.
I go to Gold's Gym now. Uh-huh. I don't know if you knew that, but I go to Gold's now, and I was like, oh, I'm going to the yoga class. And uh-huh. I went to one yoga class, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to do yoga at home.
Yeah.
Because I knew that, I mean, you know me, I'm clumsy as anything. I knew that I wasn't going to be good at it, but I didn't know that I was going to be like slowing down the whole class, you know, flopping all over the place.
Yeah.
They do want to do that thing where you like reach back and try to grab your feet and kind of like, you know, arch.
Yeah.
And just like, no, yeah, that's not happening. I mean,
yeah. We had yoga in my office for a while too, and you can see some people that it's definitely, the first thing I said to people was like, they're going to be in some funky positions here. Don't laugh, you know, because everyone else is going through it too. Don't be creepy. It's going to be weird. Some things can be hard, but it's a really good thing to do. So doing it at home, some sort of stretching routine. Most guys are very stiff, and that's how we pull things in. Those muscles pull on our bones and pull them out of place. So if you can develop some routine of yoga that you like or some stretching routine, that's the best thing for you. You know what you should look at is that. Did you watch wrestling at all when you were a kid?
Dude, I mean, that's what I was going to say.
Diamond Dallas Page one?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I've got it on my Plex, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Have you done it?
I've done it once.
The DDP?
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. But like you do that cat stretch, whatever it is. I can't do that.
No. Yeah, that would be a hard one if you want me, if it's okay to say. I mean, it's privacy as far as
No, go ahead.
You know, you had the rolled over shoulders.
Yeah.
That move, he's talking about the cat camel, is a very good movement to improve flexibility in that rib cage to help with the hunched over shoulders, or what I call the nursing home posture. People start getting all hunched over.
Mm-hmm.
You see that lady that has a super rounded back and she can't look up anymore. That move is one of the best moves to go to for keeping that good flexibility in your mid-back.
Well, that would be good, but I don't feel like I'm doing anything, you know? Just like, but you know my neck doesn't like bend. It doesn't have that bend to it.
Yeah.
So it's just like, roll your shoulders back and lift your, and like, now that just doesn't work for me, you know?
Yeah.
I can't do it. But hopefully it will. I don't know.
Give it time. Yeah. It's not going to happen overnight, you know? That's the biggest thing about stretching is what we see is, you know, if you stretch and you got good flexibility back to what we consider normal, you know, we did it for like an hour of yoga. You're probably going to retain about 10 to 15% of that the next day. So that's why it's repetitiveness of doing it over and over again. If you're still not seeing an improvement, and that's why I say always consult with the yoga instructor from time to time to see if you're doing it correctly.
Right,
because you can do it what you think's right.
Yeah.
You might be a little bit off. So it's always good to just make sure and consult with somebody from time to time.
Yeah, and that was what was great with, you know, going to you because we would do exercises. We would do, you know, clings or deadlifts and all these things. And you weren't I didn't realize, like, I thought that my posture or, like, my form was okay. But you don't realize that it's not. I'm like, wow, that's really, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, tuck your rib cage in
and
tilt your pelvis forward. I'm like, you just don't know these things. You know, you just focus on the A to B, the movement.
And how much weight can I put up overhead and those kind of things. And that's kind of the problem is, you know, people can get too wrapped in the axle of how much weight can I pick up off the ground. I worked all day for 10 hours sitting in a chair.
I'm going to stretch for 5 seconds and then go try to lift 500 pounds, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of how I do it, just can I get that weight up?
Yeah.
And, you know, that leads to injury. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when that's going to take effect. So I really try to help people perfect movement with weights and also just with everyday life. You know, the same movements you do at the gym or in yoga can translate into how we change our tire, how we lift up a grocery bag. These all are what come in context of how we injure ourselves. I really love movement because, I mean, movement's where people injure themselves. I try to improve it as much as I can to make it more efficient and pain-free.
So, right. But you were in the CrossFit. Are you still into CrossFit?
A little bit. I dabble. I like the idea of CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is there's a couple problems, you know, because it was so new and it was so big that it expanded so fast that it was expanding faster than people could actually grasp and understand how to do it. You have different types of workouts. You have gymnastic workouts. You have long distance running. You have weightlifting. You have powerlifting and just like bodyweight movements. And you're trying to incorporate those all together. And there's people that are specialized in those for a reason. Hours spending time on how to learn how to perfect a deadlift or how to perfect a muscle up on a rings. And then you're kind of putting some person who's never done any of this into this movement, which can be very advanced. And that's what people injure themselves. You don't have the trainers that know the advancements of these exercises. So I was doing CrossFit for a while with my wife. I really liked it. But we kind of went more to like a functional movement type of thing. Mm-hmm. Not so much CrossFit, but the ideas of the exercise of working out at a fast pace, but controlled. We do that. And then I also spend time working with personalized trainers, like a weightlifting coach. I try to work with them because they know they're more subject matter experts in that skill that I'm trying to get better at.
Mm-hmm.
Once I perfect that skill, then I can go back to maybe doing some more of the CrossFit type movements just to make sure I'm doing it right.
Yeah, yeah, because you hear people snapping their shit up all the time.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the one thing about the CrossFit community too is the workouts are supposed to be undetermined, like always changing. You're never adapting to the workouts. But the problem with that is, I had it the other day, someone wanted to paint their whole house, 2,500 square feet, and then their shoulder starts bothering them. It's called bursitis of the shoulder. It was an overuse injury. They'd never painted their house, and they just spent their entire weekend, 40 hours painting their house, and now their shoulder is sore, just from like throwing the same thing as a baseball. CrossFit, the problem with them is you might not do some sort of movement for a month, and then you're expected to do 300 reps the next day, you know, and mm-hmm. that's where we see these injuries happen mm-hmm. from an overuse type injury that you weren't prepared for. So the idea of it always never adapting to the workout and always changing is really cool because your body does like to have a little bit of adaption. But if you do something that's that excessive, that's where you see the injuries from. You know, trying to lift something 500 times in one exercise, in an hour, you know?
Scares the shit out of me personally. Yeah. Have you heard about this called functional patterns?
Yeah, have you seen that guy, Nadia Aguilar?
Yeah.
He's quite the character. me and Evan will laugh. Evan, you know, he's my assistant in my office. We will watch his stuff and kind of just chuckle because it is out there.
Yeah, I watched this guy on YouTube. His name's Alan Roberts, mm-hmm. Every Damn Day Fitness. Man, anytime this dude puts out a video, I don't think he even puts videos out anymore because this dude like trashes him so much. Because he's like, you know, he's standing on a ball, like throwing a medicine ball against the wall.
Or I watched him yesterday, he hits like this cable and he's like standing back like he's throwing this big haymaker punch. But then he like throws the punch and then slides on his belly and then slides and then stands back out. It's, if you don't know him, look him up. Natty Aguilar. Functional patterns.
Yeah. Funny, he calls it fictional patterns as well.
yeah, but it's based on this guy named Tom Myers in Anatomy Trains.
Yeah.
Anatomy Trains is based on fascia. So the science behind it makes sense, but you're right. He does need to show us more research on what he's doing so that it can be reproduced. And if it's reproduced, then we know it's effective. Right now, what he's doing, it looks crazy. And I can barely, like, the stuff he's doing is nuts.
Yeah, it looks like a easy way to snap your stuff up. I mean, right, when you're saying, like, I don't know. It's insane, right?
Yeah, he is very outrageous in his speaking, too. Like, he will call people out and call them stupid, and it's not the way to do it. It's the same with my profession. You can't do that. I mean, you have to understand what they're doing or try to see what they're saying and build off of it, you know, build questions from it. You know, jumping off a medicine ball, throwing, you know, doing backflips and somersaults like the guy does. But some of the stuff may be effective. I'm a big believer in the chiropractic philosophy. The body heals itself. It's self-regulating and it'll fix itself, right? But we need more research to back that. And that's been the biggest problem with chiropractic is we haven't shown the research. We tell all these testimonials, but we don't show the research behind it. So I always, when I talk with their chiropractors, I'm always saying, yeah, you had a person, you know, that couldn't get pregnant before, and now they're pregnant after seeing a chiropractor. They had problems with fertility. They saw a chiropractor for some low back stuff, and after they got pregnant. It's like, that's great. Let's publish that. Because the more we publish that, the more we can put together a trial of maybe some infertility issues and see if chiropractic can truly help with it. You know, because we have all these philosophies, but we need to back it up with science.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like a scheme, just enough to get you to keep going back and going back and going back. When I went into your office, I was like, okay, he's going to have me, like, come in for the next 4 years. And, you know, but no, you're just like, yeah, in a few months, you should be all right. I'm like, I'll be damned if I wasn't feeling. And I didn't really hold up my end of the bargain the best possible way, but it definitely helped me a whole lot.
You
for
know,
sure.
It's time, energy, money is the biggest thing to look at. And I try to make a plan that's going to help you get to what your goals are. Like, you come in my office, you give me what's going on. Like, you have pain, but when pain affects something, I try to figure out, how can we get this back? You want to work out more and, you know, have that strength on both sides, have better posture. Mm-hmm. So let's put together a plan to get you to that point. Like, I get adjusted. I think adjustments on a regular basis as far as maintenance is fine. You don't need it. Well, you don't have to continue to go. Mm-hmm. That's the big conception is once you start seeing it going, you have to constantly go. Not really. You don't have to, but it's like going to the dentist. You know, if you don't go to the dentist for a long period of time, you might have a cavity that starts to build on itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's why going to a chiropractor from time to time is always a good thing to do, just to get yourself checked up on, because we're dynamic. We can have injuries, and mm-hmm. they'll start to catch up with us over time.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it totally is. But it's definitely worth it, because when I started this, I was like, who do I want to have on my show? I had a short list, and you were actually on that list cool. of who I wanted to have on the show. Not thinking you'd actually do it because you're a busy man and all that stuff, but just because you really did, you changed my life in a lot of ways.
Oh, thank you, man.
Like, I can move better than I used to. I'm more aware of certain habits or bad habits that I do as far as my posture and things like that. Like, I can't say enough good things about you and all the guys at Centered, and
really
anyone who has that stigma of, you could tell me, has there been anyone who was more standoffish and skeptical than me?
You're up there. You're probably one of the top ones up there. I had a lot. I had to dig and claw with you. You made it through everything, you know, and I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the good word, the kind words, because like I said, my goal is to change perception of chiropractic in some way, shape, or form before I leave this earth. You know, I really appreciate what it did for myself, and I try to just pass it up to other people and skip past the stigmas and the conjecture that comes with chiropractic.
If you could do it with me, I think you could probably do it with anybody. Yeah. But anyone out there listening who has some pain.
Yeah. You know, this month, I think we're doing a free consultation. Like, honestly, like, I had the benefit of getting it for free when I first started. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind checking out somebody for free. You know, it's, if you want to get your spine checked out to see what's going on, well,
right,
it's a big perception. People think when they're in pain, they're unhealthy. When they're not, they're healthy. There's a lot of things that can be the silent killers and the problems that happen over time. So if we can stop a ticking time bomb, that's what I try to do. So you don't have the benefit to check it out for free.
Yeah, for sure. And again, because I know there's people just like me that just is skeptical and like, no, but they're hurting, but you know, they don't want to risk it. And I completely understand that because I was there. And so tell him Jamie sent you. He'll give you 10 free visits. He'll give you 10 free.
I don't know about all that. That's pretty generous. I got bills to pay. I got lights to keep on.
No, totally joking. Don't expect that. But you know, show up for a consultation. I guarantee you, Dr. Corey will hook you up and be real with you. Like,
I mean, I'll shoot you straight. I mean, chiropractic can't help everybody, but it helps a lot of people. So I'm willing to check you out. And if I can't find the answers, I point you in the right direction where you can find help.
And just as long as you don't bring out, like, the butter knife.
Yeah, that's a whole different story altogether. That's for another podcast, probably. We'll talk about that.
Indeed. But, no, so do you have anything going on at Centered?
Right now, we're doing, well, if you're for businesses as well, we're doing something for businesses. We're doing a better back program. About prevention. If I can help you, like, same way I talk about postures at desks, we're doing it for businesses about 5 employees or more. Myself and I partner with the chef and his wife, which is a catering company here in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
And we take up 15 minutes to your meeting. If you want, we can come in. It takes 15 minutes. We buy you guys lunch, and we both give you information on how to improve work, like, your efficiency and productivity at the office. How can we cut down on sick days? How can we cut back on, you know, problems with food and issues and having to see the doctor all the time? And how can we increase productivity at your office? So if they're interested, you know, you can go to my website, email myself or Evan, and let us know. We can come to your next board meeting or next staff meeting, and we just take 15 minutes of your time to talk to you more about how to improve your workspace, improve your life.
You don't realize that it's all connected. It's like, I went to you and then for my back, and then all of a sudden I could masturbate without losing my breath.
Yeah. another added value. We'll do a research study on that one together. Yeah.
I was messing with you. But no, seriously, Dr. Corey, thank you so much for coming on my show and talking to me. It's really good to see. I haven't seen you forever.
I know. Yeah, it's so been a pleasure. Awesome. Yeah, stop by anytime, man. I really appreciate having you at the office. You know, changing one skeptic to a believer. So.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
All right. So you may have noticed that Pup was like really riled up at the beginning of that thing, but Dr. Corey is so professional, he was just like, essentially Pup was just attacking the shit out of his hand, and he was just going on like nothing happened. He calmed down after a while, I'm sure you noticed, but that's what all that racket was at the beginning. But seriously, I don't know if it's just me, but I just love talking about that stuff, how the body moves and works and functions and is correlated and related to other parts of the body and anatomy that you may not even recognize. Really interesting stuff to me, man. Maybe it is to you too. But before we head out, let's check out, let's see what we got with the voicemail.
Hey, guy.
Hey.
Just been listening to your podcast.
Nice.
A few weeks ago.
Oh.
Evelyn's last couple. But,
that's all
right. You know, you guys are doing good. I like your podcast.
Oh, thanks.
I like your video. Your blog, your video podcast, TV show.
Right, okay.
It's a good show. What I want to ask is, what's your favorite movie? Because when I listen to your podcast, I immediately think, like, what is this guy's favorite movie?
Yeah, I can see that.
Is it Blade? Is it Casablanca? Is it the Nintendo Wii? I don't know. But that way we'll get a good idea about who this guy is.
Right.
When we find out what's his favorite movie.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
Starting point,
you
anyway.
You say, keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, keep on doing your TV show on the internet.
Thanks, man. I'm starting to wonder, is he watching a TV show and thinking that's me? Get really confused when he says things like that. But thanks for the call and the question. Tough question, though. I don't know. I really like Coen Brothers. Like, The Big Lebowski, I love that movie. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? I love that movie. I've seen those movies more times than I care to admit. This is Spinal Tap, another one of my favorite ones. Mr. Holland's Opus. That's a good one, right? But I'd say, and this probably isn't my favorite one, but one that I can watch over and over and over and over again and never get tired of would be Step Brothers with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. You know, I'm not even the biggest fan of those guys. I like them all right, but I just love that movie, man. It's just so funny. And they have that line from the father character. It's like, don't lose your dinosaur, which essentially is saying don't lose what you love or don't lose what drives you and you're passionate about and what makes you you. And I kind of carry that along with me, is don't lose your dinosaur. Just good words of advice from a really ridiculous, awesome, funny movie. But yeah, we'll call it a night on that one. Thanks for the question again. And Pop, 7 episodes down. How lucky are we? Super lucky. Oh, good boy. We'll see you around.